Amen, amen. It's so good to be with you today again. And I want to thank Brother R. Derry for the privilege of letting me come and be part of this great church. As he stated, we have a long relationship with this church, and we won't mention how many decades, but they're starting to stack up here. And really, really glad to see what God is doing here in Northeast Ohio. I want you to be seated just for a second. Beauty of being here is the fact that I never know what God's going to do when I come and visit y'all. And sometimes God moves in ways that I did not anticipate. And sometimes God does miraculous things that I had not been aware of that was going to happen. And today I feel a deep undercurrent of the Spirit that there's a need in this house for the supernatural and healing. There's a need in this house for God. And I'm not just talking about broken arms and this and that and the other thing. I'm talking about spirits that need to be changed and hearts that need to be healed and people who need to be 100% on fire for the Lord. So before we do anything else, right where you're seated, why don't you lift your hands again and let's just take a moment here and let's entertain the presence of the Lord. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Piromamondo lobo santo lobo kia. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I worship you. I praise you. God, let your will be done in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let's give him a good hand praise. Let's lift him up. Jesus, I love you. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Our district superintendent, Brother James Stark, encouraged every church in the Ohio District to emphasize today as Outpouring Sunday. It is my belief that God is going to do great things in this house today. If you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, today is your day. This day before the next hour is over, we're going to see God do some great things. I believe the God of healing is in this house. The God of deliverance is in this house. The God of miracles is here with us today. Amen. I'm in a different phase of life after pastoring for 40 years. And I'm able to travel and preach and teach and evangelize. And it just seems like that everywhere I go, God is pouring out the Holy Ghost. And I believe today is going to be one of those days. How many like good news? That was tepid. Say, I like good news. Amen. Just yesterday, my pastor, Brother Carpenter, baptized two people on a Saturday in the precious name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. Amen. This is a brother and sister-in-law of a lady who attends our church. This sister in our church had been witnessing to them for a long, long time, and now they are baptized in the name of Jesus. Just a few weeks ago, this same sister taught a Bible study in her home to a lady who received the Holy Ghost at her kitchen table. And she's bringing people to church right and left, praying with souls. God is answering her prayers, and powerful things are happening. Now, here's the deal. In a few days, this lady will be 80 years old. She's on fire more than she's been in the 30-some plus years since I baptized her in Jesus' name. She's on fire today. Let me tell you, no, we're not going to coast into heaven. We're going to ride the revival of God in these last days, and we're going to see God pour out his Spirit like never before on his last days, church. Let's just clap our hands again and give him praise. God. Let's read some scripture this morning. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to begin with verse 44. If your custom's to stand, you can stand, but don't stand if you don't want to, okay? Now, if I ask you to stand, I know you all would because that would be obedience, but I don't know what your custom is here. So now half of you are, half of you aren't. Why don't y'all stand? Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that means the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out. Everybody shout, poured out. Was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they said, stick around for a while. This is a good time. Let me give you the title of this message. I want to preach to you about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. What happened in the book of Acts has never stopped. What began on the day of Pentecost has never ceased. We may not have historical records, but there's a record in heaven of every person who has repented of their sins, who has been baptized in Jesus' name, who has been filled with the Holy Ghost, and who's living a moderate life before God and serving Him with all of their heart. This is the day of outpouring, and God wants to do powerful things in our midst. Clap your hands again, all ye people. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. If you're new to this church, I want you to know that you found a home. You found a people who deeply care about you. If you're new here, you found a pastor who will protect you and will love you as a shepherd loves the sheep. But best of all, if you are new here, the Lord brought you here, and Jesus Christ loves you like nothing you have ever experienced before in your life. And Jesus Christ has promised in His Word that He will fill you with His Spirit so that you can be totally 100% satisfied in Him. Everybody shout, outpouring. Amen. It's all about doing what God wants. Amen. Wednesday night at camp, we heard a tremendous, tremendous message. And part of the message preached talked about just being submissive and being obedient. And it starts primarily in being submissive to God and obedient to God. Here's what Hebrews 11:6 says. I preached from this here in this church a few weeks ago. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This isn't a drive-by thing. This isn't something you do when you feel like it. This isn't something that if you just get the heebie-jeebies going up and down your back, you're going to say, well, I'm going to touch God and then go out and do whatever I want to do. This is something that God is telling you. He will reward you if you diligently seek Him. Amen. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. Your spouse won't take you to heaven. Your mom won't take you to heaven. Your dad won't take you to heaven. Your kids won't get you to heaven. Your pastor won't even get you to heaven. All he'll do is give an account for you before the throne of God. But your relationship with the Lord will be the most important thing you'll ever have in your life. Oh, let's praise Him again and give glory to the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. One of our ladies, she lives next door to a family's not doing very well. And mom and son and stepdad and just horrible stuff going on. Just a bad situation. And the Lord moved and helped. And God intervened and gave the blessing of being able to help this young man get an apartment. Help this young man find furnishings for his apartment. Help this young man get set up. And now he doesn't drive, so there's people in the church that are taking him back and forth to work. And he's a good worker. He's a diligent worker. He's very careful about his work. And I'm looking forward, and it may be this morning, I'm looking forward to that man just opening up and saying, God, because you see what your people do for me, I think that I can trust you. I've not been hurt by these people. And now I know I can trust you. Friends, there's an outpouring of the Spirit that is waiting in this area of Ohio. And all we have to do is to be sensitive to the needs of those of us around us. Now get me here. We're not a moving company. We're not a car repair shop. We're not a food pantry. What we are is a preaching salvation station that the glory of God can be manifest in the lives of people. And we see God bless souls and sweep them into His wonderful kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. And if God wants to give us a sign in the New Testament that he's forgiven me, and that he wants to give a sign that he's filled me with his Spirit, and he chooses that the sign is speaking a language I never learned before, I'm going to allow God to do to me the thing that pleases him. What if the scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? And we go, ah! And then we go on another place of scripture, and it says, we know they got the Holy Ghost because we saw them turn cartwheels. That would be interesting. We know they received the Holy Ghost because they jumped up and down 50 times. We know they received the Holy Ghost because they got all excited. You know what? It's almost immaterial. Other than a couple of places in Scripture, it's almost immaterial. The sign is the sign God chose, not the sign that we argue about. And whatever he says to do, I want to be ready to do it so that I can be ready for the coming of the Lord in these last days. Amen. Put yourself in the passage of Scripture that we just read. For the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2 to Acts chapter 10, never before had a Gentile been recorded of receiving the Holy Ghost in the church. Nobody that was not a Jew ever received the Holy Ghost. Almost 10 years. There was an astonishment in the household of this Gentile soldier named Cornelius because the Jews that showed up there could not believe that the Holy Ghost was poured out. That same Holy Ghost that was poured out on the Jews is also being poured out on the Gentiles. Now let me tell you, we live in America. We're not divided by Jew and Gentile and all that stuff, but we are divided in a lot of ways, aren't we? We profess to be the United States of America, and the states are united in charter. But I'm telling you, God wants to take every soul that walks in the doors of this building. I don't care where they come from. I don't care what language they speak. I don't care what's going on in their life right now. I don't care if you know what a bad scoundrel they are. God wants every soul to be filled with his Spirit and baptized in his precious name. Hallelujah. On our screen right now in church, the preacher's preaching, and the screen on that side, on the platform, there's two languages being translated simultaneously because we have people from other countries attending our church, and we want them to hear and understand the Word of God. We tried direct translation. We tried voice-to-voice. We tried everything. We couldn't figure it out. So finally, one of our egghead gurus got things together, and he put together something that works simultaneously as the Word is being preached, and people can see the Word of God as we are preaching the Word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, my friends, there's going to be a move of God that will touch anybody and everybody if we just have the desire to reach everybody for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage in Acts 10, it's an amazing accomplishment of the Spirit that caused this man of God to become silent before his message was completed. I want you to know, it's not much that'll shut down a preacher. The Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, he's just going along, rattling along, spit going to the third row. I mean, it's just going crazy. And he's preaching his guts loose to try to reach those people. And the whole time he's preaching, he kind of backhandedly said, I don't really believe this. And you Gentiles, I can't figure out why he's dealing with you. And he's going just backhand, talking about how amazing it is that God has received the Gentiles. And while Peter's preaching these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that believed. Here's what I know. The Jews didn't believe. The Holy Ghost people didn't believe. The people who were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with his Spirit didn't believe. Because they weren't sure if those people should be part of the church or not. But I'm telling you, when God comes down, there is no hindrance. When God comes down, there are no walls of separation. When God comes down, every one of us are candidates for the move of his Spirit. And every Gentile in that house believed God, and God filled them all with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you this morning that if you've not yet received the Holy Ghost, you can. If you need a healing in your body, that healing is for you today. If you need a miracle in your mind, God has a miracle in your mind today. And I want you to know that God will move in a dimension of power if we just simply will allow Him to.
Amen.
Amen. I was in Northeast India several years ago preaching in Mizoram State, the city of Aizawl. And I was there to preach a district conference. And as a matter of fact, Brother Frank Poling and I traveled up to that area of Northeast India. And here I am, a Midwest Ohio boy, in Northeast India, preaching in English to a people who spoke the Mizo language. Cultural differences like you would not believe. I spoke with an interpreter. And with all those barriers of language between us, of all those barriers of culture between us, in 8 days of preaching, we saw 153 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. My interpreter, amen, my interpreter did not have the Holy Ghost. And he would stand there and interpret and just shake his head no. And finally, I pulled him to the side and I said, buddy, you better start doing this because we're going to have words if you don't. And so he changed his attitude and he just started hearing what he was translating and what he was interpreting. And I want you to know before that week was over, that interpreter received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He spoke a language he never learned before. I know there are no barriers to what God will do in filling people with His Spirit. He can fill you today. Speaking in tongues is magnifying God. I just want you to know that. Speaking in tongues is a sign that God is in control and you're not. Speaking in tongues is a sign of a spiritual power flowing through our human flesh. Tongue talking never hurt anybody. I want you to know that. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost has saved countless millions of people from a life of sin and damnation. Look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians 6 says this. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're God's house. Come on, tell him, you're God's house. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to know. God wants to be your daddy, and he wants to be able to call you sons and daughters. Now, mark this down. I don't care what kind of daddy you had here on earth. I'm talking about a heavenly father. A good God, a wonderful Savior who loves you and gave His own very life for you. That is a loving God. Amen. And what we need to know today is that it is absolutely astounding that the God of the universe, the Creator of the universe, chose to live inside the body of a human being. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, what? I love it when it says that. It's an exclamation like, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Turn to your neighbor again. Tell him you're God's house. Now look him in the eye and say, keep God's house clean. Now you're meddling, preacher. Just move on. Here's what I want you to know. Because this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and because God lives in me, I better be careful what I do with my body. Amen? If I drink a Budweiser, I'm telling God it's okay to drink a Bud in His house. If I smoke a Swisher Sweet, I'm telling God it's okay to smoke a Swisher Sweet in His house. If I take drugs, I'm telling God that it's okay to be a druggie in His house. If I look at porn, I'm telling God it's okay to use porn in the house of God. If I cuss, I'm cussing in God's house. This Holy Ghost, this tongue-talking experience is a life-changing, eternity-altering, detonating, Terminator of God, and God would like to pour His Spirit out on you right now. Hallelujah. One time we had a bunch of people needed the Holy Ghost. And funny thing was, they were praying for the Holy Ghost. And it just coincidental, they all had a smoking problem. And all of them felt very convicted about their smoking. Now, I personally believe God will fill a person with the Holy Ghost, and then they can quit smoking. But these people, they were determined that they were going to be delivered from smoking. So I thought, this can go on forever. This is a stalemate. So I called them to a five-day fast. I said, I want you to fast till Sunday. And on Sunday, God is going to deliver all five of you from this nicotine habit, and God is going to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, that's pretty bold, preacher. What if he doesn't do it? Well, you be stupid if you want to. I'm going to let God be God, and I'm going to let God be the one who determines what he's going to do and what he doesn't do. Here's what happened. All five of them fasted the rest of that week. All five of them came to church that Sunday night. All five of them came to the altar. I lined them up one after another, and boom, 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 God filled all five of them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues for the very first time. God can do anything if we let him do his will in our lives. Praise God. Now, we Pentecostals have long known that the Holy Ghost alters our brains, right? How many of you are just a little bit different since you received the Holy Ghost? Now, some of you are a lot different, no matter whether you receive the Holy Ghost or not, right? And so whether or not you receive the Holy Ghost. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, didn't things change in your brain? We know that. We Pentecostals have known that the Bible tells us certain things about our mind when we speak with tongues. Understand this. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15 says this. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Look at the word unfruitful in that passage. When I pray in tongues, my mind is unfruitful. Now, unbelieving people take that as a negative thing. They say, well, what in the world good is speaking with tongues? When I pray in tongues, my mind, another way to say that, my mind is unproductive. A beautiful way to say it is, when I'm in tongues mode, my mind is at rest. The human element of me is not plugged in any longer. And the Spirit of God is flowing through me. And he's giving my mind a break. He's giving my brain a little downtime. Now, I know my brain's not involved when I speak with tongues. As a matter of fact, when I speak with tongues for the very first time, the Bible indicates that God is doing the speaking. Amen? We know that. In the past decade or so, science has caught up with what God's doing in the world. There are hundreds of millions of Pentecostals who speak with tongues all over the world today. As a matter of fact, Pentecostalism is the fastest growing movement in the world, bar none. It is estimated by 2050 there will be more or as many Pentecostals as Muslims in the world. Amen. Dr. Carl Peterson, the Oral Roberts University, Tulsa, Oklahoma, he's a brain specialist. He was doing research on the relationship between the brain and praying or speaking in tongues. Through research, through testing, Dr. Peterson found that as we pray in the Spirit or we worship in the Spirit, we're praying or worshiping in tongues, there's an activity that begins in the brain. And as we engage in that heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune systems, and it gives us a 35 to 40% boost in our immune system as we speak in tongues. This has been recently proven, my friends, and how many of us has gone to the hospital and we pray for somebody and we lay hands on them and they bust out in tongues and God begins that process of healing. Amen. I know that the Lord is in control and the Lord wants to do great things, but he'll do it in a supernatural way. So speaking in tongues promotes healing in our bodies, and this secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans, and we never use it. It's as if God put a tongue-talking thing in our brain, just waiting for us to receive the Holy Ghost so that when we speak in tongues, good things can begin to happen to our bodies. It is only activated by our spirit-led prayer and worship. So when you feel a cold coming on, get yourself into a red-hot prayer meeting with Jesus. Speak in tongues, pray in tongues, sing in tongues. Get a hold of God, and I promise you, God will begin to do powerful things in your body. Amen. He will. There's an article out there by Dr. Andrew Newberg that quotes studies that suggest that people who speak with tongues rarely suffer from mental problems. Another study of nearly 1,000 Christians in England who spoke with tongues were more emotionally stable than those who did not. Even though science is catching up with the perfect word of God, all we need is the truth of the word of God and obey the Lord. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is Acts 2:4. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's King James language. It says, as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. The New Living Translation says, as the Spirit gave them this ability. The New International Version says, as the Spirit enabled them. Young's Literal Translation says, according as the Spirit was giving them to declare. So when you are praying and you feel that Holy Ghost come on you and you start feeling the energy of God working in you, one of the things that you're tempted to do is shut down, because it's so unusual. It is so odd. It is something that you're not used to. But I encourage you, when that feeling comes on you and that spirit comes on you, you need to just lift your voice to heaven and say, God, thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. You'll say that in English about 3 times, and then God will fill you with His Spirit, and you'll speak a language you've never, ever learned before. Oh, let's praise Him again. Ha. Build faith in this house. Hallelujah. My point is that when you are first filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you do not do the speaking. God gives you the sign that He's now living inside of you. Oh, I don't know about this church, but I know in our church, we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's doing great things. Pastor Carpenter's doing a wonderful job. The church has accepted him. We haven't lost one soul. He's been at it for a year, and we're winning souls. We're seeing new people come into the kingdom. I'm not saying anything's wrong, but I tell you what, I don't like church as usual. I don't like going through the motions. I don't like having things happen in a predictable way. I want to see God do what He wants to do, and people walk out of this place changed and forever, for all eternity, made into a new creature because of His glory. Hallelujah. Pastor talking about the soon coming of the Lord. When you and I, when we all get to heaven, I know what a day of rejoicing that will be. What language will we speak? Is God an Israelite? Will we all speak Hebrew? What's the language of heaven? Language is based on the country the language comes from. People from England speak English. People from Spain speak Spanish. People from Italy speak Italian. We won't get into West Virginians and Kentuckians and all that stuff. We won't get into it. But here's what I want you to know. Tongues is the language of heaven. Jesus said in Mark 16:17, that they shall speak with new tongues, not old tongues, not a known tongue, but a new unknown tongue. Acts 10:46, they spoke with tongues and magnified God. Acts 19:6, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. 1 Corinthians 12:10, the Bible tells us there are diverse kinds of tongues. Here's what I want to see happen here in just a minute. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar area. And we're after anybody that would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And may I say that if you're cold in your spirit and you haven't spoken in tongues for a while, I believe God will refill you with His Spirit, and you can just start all over again in Jesus, and powerful things can happen in your life. Healings can take place. We can see miracles take place. Not because I'm here. It has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with the holiness and the majesty and the power of Almighty God who is in this place right now. So, together, we're going to repent. Anybody know what repent means? What's it mean? It means go the other direction. You're headed one way, you're going to turn around and go the other way. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Sometimes I get lost on the highway, and I turn around and go the other way. I still don't know where I'm going. Sometimes I get lost in the grocery store, and I think the spice rack's in this aisle, and I turn around and go the other way, and the spice rack's not there, and it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So turning around and going the other way doesn't necessarily mean anything. When you repent, you're walking away from a lifestyle of sin, and you're walking toward the Jesus Christ who will save you and change you and make you into a brand new person. Repentance means to simply turn from sin and start walking toward Jesus. Now, I'm sorry for things I've done. How about you? Who's going to be honest? I'm honest. My hand's in the air. You got something you need to repent of right now. Why'd all those hands go down? I'm the only sinner in the house. Brother Hardare, you better come take this mic and pray me through. How many thought a thought you shouldn't have thought in the last 24 hours? How many of you thought something about somebody that you shouldn't have thought in the last 24 hours? How many of you said something that should have come out of your mouth in the last 24 hours? How many of you overate in the last 24 hours? How many of you were given to excess in the last 24 hours? How many of you have done things that you need to repent of right now? Let's see a show of hands now. Amen. Right where you're at, I'm going to lead us in repentance, because we're all going to be on the same page in the next few minutes. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you sincerely. I come to you with an open and broken heart and a contrite spirit. Lord, I've said things. I've thought things. I've done things. God, I have been involved in things that are not good in my life. And Lord, I want your goodness to touch me right now, because your word is faithful. Your word is true. If I repent, you will forgive me. So Lord, right now, I repent of my sins. And Lord, I thank you for forgiving me of those sins and giving me, Lord, another chance and giving me a fresh opportunity to live for you. I repent right now. I give myself to you, and I believe, Lord, that you have forgiven me. Let's celebrate right now. Let's thank God that he has granted us the gift of repentance. Well, Brother Nichols, that was too easy. We're supposed to snot and boo-hoo and mess up our suits and our dresses and wear out 15 handkerchiefs and all of that. Well, at times we do. But honey, repentance is a lifestyle. Wouldn't it be something as the moment you thought a wrong thought, you repented. The moment you said something you shouldn't have, you repented. The moment this happened and that happened, you repented. And God can give you a lifestyle that says, Lord, I'm going to stay current with you to the very best of my ability. I'm going to walk in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. I don't want to have to kneel down and pray for 20 minutes before I witness to somebody. I want to be used of you right now. Praise God. Anybody feel better right now? Now, we're going to pass the mic, and we're all going to tell what you repented of, okay? I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. I want us to stand. We're going to worship the Lord together. Worship is just simply telling God out loud how worthy he is. Worship means that we know he's worth more than anything in the world to me. And what you can do, as we come to this altar, during worship, you can begin thanking him for filling you with the Holy Ghost. You can begin thanking him for healing your body. You can begin thanking him for touching your mind. You can begin to thank him for what he's about to do in your life. And I promise you, in the next 10 minutes, powerful things can happen in the house of the Lord. So I'm not a beggar. Come on to the altar. We're going to pray together. And if we can get some good worship music going here, we're going to worship God and seek after him. And we're going to be very, very sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, friends, there's some people here that are trained. They know what they're doing. And we're going to be sensitive to God and try to keep an eye on what's going on. And I believe the Lord is getting ready to do something powerful in this place right now. Now, I'll be honest with you. It's a little tight in here. This isn't usual for this church. It's a little bit tight in here. but I'm not intimidated by anything or anybody. If I can have hundreds of people from another country staring at me and doubting every word I say, this ain't nothing, friends. But I believe that God can move and do powerful things in our midst. So before we do anything else, as the musicians start to sing and to play, let's just give ourselves to the Lord. Let's lift up our voices. I want to hear you worshiping. I want to hear you giving praise to God. I want you to lift your voice to the Lord and praise Him. Go right ahead right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Lord God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I already repented of my sins. I know that you love me. I know that you've forgiven me. Now, Lord, I have needs in my life that only you can meet. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise, where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. Jesus, come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracle, and we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracle. There's resurrection. Your blood runs through our veins. Your kingdom triumphs over even the coldest grave. And we see, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive. Of Jesus. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
I want you to keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask this platform to join us down here praying with individuals. We're going to pray together. I want you to pray right now. I want you to find someone to join with if you're by yourself. And we're going to pray and ask God to do what God wants to do in this place this morning. Would you do that with me right now? We need to really apply this. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we receive it into our spirit, oh God. We receive it into our spirit, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you just to press for a couple more moments. I feel like the Lord's just starting to help some people. Hallelujah. Lord, we just need your help today, oh God. We just need your help. We need your help, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, your strength, your divine strength, oh God. Your wisdom, oh God, in this very confusing world. We need the Holy Ghost to lead us. God, to direct every step. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.